For years, a disease that attacks bats has spread through the United States. It's called white nose syndrome, and it reached Michigan in 2014. In just 6 years, white nose decimated much of the state's bat population. Although there's no reversing what's been done, a new study from the University of Michigan has revealed a glimmer of hope for the future of bats. But IPR's Cassidy Huff reports the good news may be too little, too late.
Steve Smith has explored old caves ever since he was a kid. Usually, illegally. Now, he just does it legally.
Listen to the water dripping and the bats, and you can smell the timbers and almost visualize what the miners were going through and stuff. I mean, it's just really, I have a passion for this.
In 1992, when Steve was 37, he stood above an abandoned mine shaft in Iron Mountain. It was rumored to be bottomless. So he took that as a challenge. Armed with 200 feet of rope and a couple of old flashlights strapped to motorcycle helmets, he and a friend made their descent. They found the bottom about 100 feet down and were greeted by a hissing sound. Bats. It was a hibernation spot for up to 250,000 of them. He knows because he helped count them.
There was all these bats flying, like just dozens of bats, hundreds of bats would be flying by the time we were through.
Later, he heard the city of Iron Mountain was planning to fill in the mine, with the bats still inside. So, he called Bat Conservation International. Together, they saved the mine and all of the bats. Soon afterwards, Michigan's Department of Natural Resources offered Steve a job as a mine inspector.
So what I had been doing since I was a little kid, illegally sneaking into mines, turned into a 26-year career.
Wow.
Steve worked closely with bat biologists throughout his career, so he grew fond of bats, even thought they were cute. But then something happened that neither him nor biologists could protect bats from. White nose syndrome. White nose arrived in New York from Europe in 2006. It has since spread rapidly throughout the U.S. and Canada. Smith and his colleagues at the DNR were the first to discover white nose in Michigan in 2014. 6 years later, 90% of the state's bats, gone. That's little brown bats, northern long-eared bats, tricolored bats, nearly all of them.
That's a lot of years of, you know, work putting into this. And then to have it all end because of a fungus, you know, it's just horrible.
White nose syndrome grows on bats while they hibernate in the winter, but it doesn't actually kill them. Rather, the fungus irritates their skin, causing them to wake up in the middle of the winter and burn up their fat reserves. As a result, bats either starve or freeze to death when they leave the cave in search of food.
So you gotta be kind of careful going down here.
Okay.
There's a couple of steps. I probably should put a rope, except then I'd have even more trespassers rappelling here.
Smith now owns his own mine in Norway, Michigan.
Anyhow, I should have took the time to show you, but that hole right there goes down into the mine. What we're standing on is hollow underneath.
Oh, really?
It. And we're going in there, and we're gonna walk under your car.
Bats don't live in caves during the summer, but he's taking me inside to show me where thousands of bats used to live in the winter.
Well, let's get this on.
Okay.
Much of the fungus's spread can be attributed to people visiting caves without protection. The spores of the fungus stick to everything, from your boots to your nose hair, Steve said. So things like disposable suits and gloves are really important when entering a cave, especially since once the fungus reaches an area, there's really no getting rid of it. In Wisconsin, bat biologists tried stopping the spread by stripping down, showering, and leaving the site with new clothes after entering an infected mine, but
it didn't matter, because when a bat leaves here carrying white nose and goes to another mine, it dumps the spores in the mine. The bats themselves are carrying it. Yeah, you're really gonna have to get up high and make the step right over to that, right down. Yeah, right to that, not where the little rope is, but if you can make the
In 2000, pictures of the Norway mine were used in an advertising campaign to promote protection of bat habitats.
And this mine had clusters of like 2,500 to 5,000, clusters that were 5 feet long, and those are gone. We'll never see them again because the bats are, you know, they're decimated by this white nose.
This is true for other mines too. He once found 5,000 bats floating dead in a pool of water in a mine. He called it the death chamber.
We were in another mine, and when we got down into it, there was like wind-blowing pine needles all over, like piles of pine needles. Mm-hmm. Turns out they were bat bones. Thousands of bat bones in piles, so many dead bats. You couldn't walk anywhere without seeing carcasses.
There is no known cure or vaccine to treat bats with white nose syndrome. Experts have tried everything from an oral vaccine to installing air conditioning in mines to slow down the growth of the fungus. They've even gassed mines to kill the fungus, but ended up killing everything else in the mine too. But no matter what, bats always reintroduce the fungus when they return in the winter. Even if, by some miracle, a white nose vaccine were given to all bats tomorrow, Steve says there's no way to reverse the fact that 90% of them are already gone. And he says it may get worse for bats. They're expected to reach a 93 to 95% mortality rate before the population stabilizes. And some species will likely be killed off entirely.
The northern long-eared bat, we can't find them. I mean, it's rare that we even find one. They're on the verge right now of extinction. And then the pipistrelle, they're almost gone too.
But a new study by Georgia Arturi from the University of Michigan shows a glimmer of hope for one species. The little brown bat has shown a genetic immunity to white nose.
It means that, you know, the ones that are surviving the disease seem to have genes that make them less susceptible to the disease. And they're probably going to pass some of those genes on to their offspring, right? So their offspring will also be less susceptible to the disease.
Georgia says this means little brown bats should eventually repopulate. But with most bats only having 1 to 2 babies per year, Steve isn't optimistic.
It's going to be a long-term thing. This isn't going to happen like next year or next decade. So I think we're looking at a long-term, you know, centuries.
In the meantime, Steve says Michiganders should prepare for life without bats because their loss will have a negative impact on both the environment and us.
They're extremely beneficial. They consume insects, especially pest insects, mosquitoes, gypsy moths, forest tent caterpillars, corn borers, and all that stuff isn't necessarily up here. But the more bats eat these insects, the less insecticides we have to use.
That's more money farmers will have to spend to cover what bats usually did for free, he said. Bats also eat disease-spreading insects, and some even pollinate.
I just don't see where you can eradicate one entire population and not have drastic effects across the board to all the animals.
Smith plans to retire this year and spend some time traveling around the country exploring caves for fun. But he'll never stop advocating for bats.
The biggest thing is to not attack bats. If they're in your house, don't kill them. Just don't damage the bat. There are no bats. If you kill that bat and it's a mother and it's pregnant, we've just lost another chance to repopulate.
For IPR News, I'm Cassidy Huff.